Okay, it's time to get started. Appreciate you being here this morning. It's good to see you. And I thought this morning we would continue with what we started last week a little bit in our class about the two churches that the Lord dealt with. And if you will, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1. First, would you join me in prayer, please? Father, we thank you for the time we have here. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to study your word and to put our faith and trust in what you say. And Father, we ask you this morning to be with those that are sick. We ask you to comfort these people, to get them well according to thy will. Father, we ask you this morning to teach us your word by your spirit, to build us up in the faith, that we be attentive to your words. And Father, most of all, we ask you to get honor and glory to yourself in this class. In the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, start with me in verse 14. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is the faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them that should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now, if I put on the board up here, here's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Jesus Christ came to Israel as a baby. That's a sign to Israel. You'll find that in Luke, that this is a sign to Israel. It's a fulfillment of prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 7, verse 14. A virgin shall conceive, and a child shall be born, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. And you can find the interpretation of Emmanuel in Matthew chapter 1, which is God with us. That us is not us in this world today. You understand? Jesus Christ was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. They rejected him. They said, "We'll have no king but Caesar." They crucified him, they spoke against him, and they crucified him. They put his body in the tomb. He left his body and went down into the heart of the earth. After 3 days and three nights, he came back up, and he spent 40 days and 40 nights with the 12 apostles, training them to carry on a ministry over here. He told them, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, which is prophecy, he said, when you see him stand in the holy place, run, flee to the mountains. And you'll find that in Matthew 24, Luke 21. You'll find it in Revelation over here on the other side, over here, that they run and flee for the, in Revelation 6, you'll find this about the Antichrist. They run and flee to the mountains. In between all of this, first coming over here and second coming over here, you'll have the dispensation that was committed to the Apostle Paul, and Paul wrote it down in Romans to Philemon. Paul said, "The Lord appeared unto me first." He's a pattern. Do you read? Look what he said here. Verse 16. "Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first." Well, did Jesus Christ show long suffering to these back here? Did he?
Yeah.
But is it the same as it he showed to the Apostle Paul?
No.
What was the Apostle Paul?
Blasphemer.
A blasphemer. Go back to verse in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11. Let's start in verse 11. according to the glorious gospel of blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Now, we're talking about a blasphemer. He spoke against the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ told them in Matthew 12, you speak against the Son of Man, it'll be forgiven you. They spoke against him. While he was on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Could they get forgiveness for that?
Yes.
In Acts, several times the Holy Spirit was preached to these people by different apostles. Did they accept it? No, they did not. They spoke against the Holy Spirit. So could they have forgiveness here?
No.
Can they have forgiveness over here?
No.
But did Paul say that he was a blasphemer? Look what he says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. And I thank Jesus Christ our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer. Was Paul a blasphemer?
Yes.
Is Paul the first member to get saved as a blasphemer?
Yes.
Do you know what, when Paul trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, believing that when Christ died at Calvary, he died for his sins, do you know what happened to him?
He was baptized.
He was blinded.
Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. Is Paul a pattern?
Yeah.
Is he the first pattern? You know, my mom used to sew and make clothes for people. She used to make our shirts and our undershorts out of feed sacks and all. Mm-hmm. Back in them days, they had printed feed sacks. Some of them had flowers, they had designs on them, all kind of stuff. She had a pattern. She'd take that pattern and she'd put it, pin it on that thing and cut that pattern. Well, I've seen my mom lend her patterns to some of the other ladies around there, and they would alter mama's pattern. Ooh, and that made my mama mad. They would, well, I mean, you know, the patterns are for a certain size. And then instead of them allowing just folding it back or something, they'd cut it. And it would alter the... Now, I want you to think about what I'm saying. I ain't just playing a game with you. I want you to think about people altering this gospel here, that Paul ain't the first in the church, the body of Christ. It's altered, and it ain't the same. Once you alter it, you change it, it is spoiled, and it ain't any good anymore. You might as well just throw it in the garbage can. Paul said he was the first, didn't he?
Yeah.
Look at it. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27. Now you are what?
The body of Christ.
The body of Christ. Is Paul the first member in the body of Christ?
Yes.
This is a church, which is his body. Is this a church back here?
Yes.
It sure is. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus Christ said, upon this rock, Jesus Christ is the rock, I will build my church. Now let's look at some things about these two churches. Now, then while you're in 1 Corinthians 12, look at verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into what?
One
body. Verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. A reference to Jesus Christ. Verse 17. For he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Colossians 1 verse 17. I give y'all a bad reference.
Mm-hmm.
Alright, I'm Colossians 1 17. And he, which is a reference to Jesus Christ, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist, and he is the head of the body, the church. Is Jesus Christ the head of the body?
Right.
Is Paul the first member into the church, the body of Christ?
Yes.
Do y'all know when Paul got saved? Acts chapter 9. I'll do it right there. Okay? Now, go to Acts chapter 2. This has been altered so bad, most denominationals don't have the foggiest idea what we in this class know. Most of the preachers in these organizations ain't got the foggiest idea about Paul being the first into the church of the body of Christ. Peter Ruckman, Dr. Peter Ruckman, Pensacola, Dr. Peter S. Ruckman, he believes the church, the body of Christ, started back here in Matthew. Art Watkins believes it started somewhere back here. And I've heard him say he believed it was in Matthew, and then he believed it was back here with Abraham, and it's all over the board. Who is the first member to be saved by grace through faith? Paul. Now, Acts chapter 2, verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as
should be saved.
When will they be saved?
Second coming.
Who added to this church here?
God.
How did he know who to add to this church? Well, let me ask you a question. How did the Holy Spirit know to add the Apostle Paul into this church here and him be the first and a pattern hereafter? Now let me ask you a question. Do y'all know the word hereafter means he's first? Hereafter. Does that include Hebrews to Revelation?
No.
It ceases with the rapture. That's why the rapture has to take place. So the Antichrist can be revealed that they were trained to look for. When you see, were they expecting to see the Antichrist?
Yeah.
He said, when you see, Matthew 16, he told them, he said, when you see this, flee, run to the mountains. Matthew 24, Luke 21, tribulation time. He said, this is the time of God's vengeance over here. Okay? On his people, Israel, not the church, the body of Christ. Our tribulation, our sins, all of that was placed on Jesus Christ. God made him to be sin. Okay. Do y'all know there are a lot of people that don't even believe in the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ?
Yeah.
Jehovah's Witness don't believe that.
Nah.
Y'all know who the Jehovah's Witness believed Jesus Christ was? One of his created angels. Jesus Christ wasn't created. He was born of a virgin. Fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 7. And it goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 16. 15 and 16. I'll put enmity between thee, Satan, and the woman. Between thy seed and her seed. And it's been that way ever since. And Cain, if you please, was of that wicked one, according to the book of Jude. Cain was of that wicked
one. Isn't it kind of an indication that he started the first church or religious system?
Do what?
Isn't it kind of truth that Cain started probably the first religious system?
I suspect Cain probably started the first bloodless religion. Because what Cain brought, what got him in trouble with God, was he didn't have a blood sacrifice. Abel did. Abel brought of the firstlings of the flock and offered a blood sacrifice. And y'all know where he got the example of that from? From God himself. When God killed the animals and made skins for Adam and Eve to cover their sin, their nakedness, their sin. You know, I often think about Peter after the crucifixion, Peter and them going back fishing. Peter's out there on the boat, and here comes the Lord walking out there. And Peter said, in other words, he said, "Is it you, Lord?" And they didn't know what they really saw. And I suspect if I was out there fishing and saw somebody walking across the water, I wouldn't be there fishing too long. I'd be done. I'd probably leave my boat and just fly out of there. Well, anyway, you know what Peter did? He said, "I'm naked." He went and got his fisher coat. Now, I don't believe Peter's out there without any clothes on. I believe the nakedness you can find back there in the Garden of Eden back here when Adam and Eve went and hid because they were naked. I believe the sin entered in and showed them, and God Almighty told them, he said, "The day you can eat of every tree back here except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." Something evil took place when they ate of that tree and they saw their nakedness. Well, beloved, they've been naked all their life until that happened. And I don't know how old they were when that happened or how long they've been together when that happened. I have no idea. Now, you may trace it out if you try to find it. I don't know if you can or not. I've never seen any evidence of how long that was. But I don't believe Peter was out there in that boat without any clothes on. I believe he saw his sinful condition. And here comes the Lord. And the Lord, you know what Paul told you? Flesh and blood cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. In other words, Peter saw his nakedness. He covered himself. So when God killed them animals back there, Abel knew about that. He knew about the shedding of blood back there for remission of their sin. Not forgiveness, remission. The same as in here, remission of sins. But the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ over here, put to our account, is forgiveness. It's for forgiveness, not remission. It's different. So these back here, the 12, looked forward to the Antichrist. When they saw this, they would flee and hide to the mountains and tell the mountains to hide on us, for the day of the wrath has come. And I was listening to a preacher the other day that said the wrath of God is nigh on the hand. I don't believe that. I know this is 7 years long over here. So I know we got 7 years. And we're still here. So God's got to get the church, the body of Christ, out of here. So Paul is a pattern from here until the rapture of the church. And then after the rapture of the church, the doctrine of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John will start over here on this side. Now, Acts 2, verse 47, I want to go back to this. "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Now, how did the Lord know who to add to this church back here?
Repent.
Sir? That ain't all of it. What did he? Yeah, but the end ain't coming.
He tell him follow.
Well, he's got to endure to that point.
Yeah, but he's already added them to the church back here in Acts 2. That Antichrist ain't showed up yet. There's a Lord added to a church in Acts chapter 2, such as should be saved.
Yeah.
How did he know who to add to that church? Okay, go to Luke chapter 18. Take Mark. Well, we may go to Mark. Just go take Luke right now. Let's do that. Luke 18. verse 18. Now you'll also find this in Matthew 19. But the terminology is a little bit different than Luke 18. It's a little more serious. Now, Luke 18, verse 18. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest, by the way, is Jesus Christ God manifest in the flesh? Well, is he the Son of Man? Is he a man? Was he tempted in all points as we, yet without sin? Well, you can't tempt God. But Jesus Christ is all God and all man. He ain't half and half. He ain't no freak. He's all God and all man. Hebrews says, a body hast thou prepared me. Y'all know what God is?
Spirit.
God's a spirit. The Spirit of Almighty God came upon a virgin, and that which is conceived is of the Holy Spirit. Matthew and Luke, not by the Holy Spirit, but of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ came down as a man, a babe. He knew temptation the same as they did, yet he was without sin. Do you know why he was without sin? He had God's blood in him. Acts 20:28. He shed his own blood. God's own blood. Okay? Now, what we're trying to find out is how this man, the Lord, knew who to add to this church. Now, the Lord has already been crucified.
Yeah.
His spirit has been regenerated, if you please, renewed. The renewing of the Holy Spirit, Titus, Paul talks about it, which he shed on us, not the renewing, but the Holy Spirit, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Lord, which is the head of the church, which is his body. Now, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit added Paul to this church. How did he know to add Paul to the church, the body of Christ? When there is no mention anywhere in your scripture about a body of believers called the church, which is his body, until Paul made it known. How did the Holy Spirit know to add Paul into the church, which is the body of Christ?
He knew all things.
Beloved, this is so simple.
Go on, spit it out.
Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ. In whom? Verse 4. Look at it. Somebody look at verse 4. Ephesians 1, verse 4. He chose us in Christ when? Before the foundation. Well, did God know about the body of believers in here before the foundation of the world? Did he know, and the Holy Spirit know, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, these three are one. 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. These three are one. There are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, these three are one. Here's the Word made flesh. You understand? God the Father. John 6:63. These words I speak unto you, they are spirit. God's spirit is in a 1611 King James Bible, and it ain't in no other Bible. And you know, I got a friend of mine that goes to Dauphin Way Baptist Church. They don't use the King James.
No.
I got a couple friends that go over to Cottage Hill Baptist. They don't use the King James. They use the New King James. I've showed these people these things. Well, you know, you're just making a big deal out. No, I'm just telling you what God said. God ain't in a lie. He's not in a book that's got a lie in it. He doesn't lie. He cannot lie. Now, so the Holy Spirit knew when Paul met the Lord on the road to Damascus that he had trusted Christ. You know how he knew that? How did he know it? Paul said, "Who art thou, Lord?" He recognized the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord. The Holy Spirit knew that Paul had trusted Christ. He baptized him into this body. Paul is the first. Acts 9. I don't know if you're seeing what I see. Where did the Lord add to a church? Acts 2. Brother, Paul ain't saved in Acts 2. Paul is fighting against those people in Acts 2. So Paul is a pattern from hereafter to those that shall believe on him, the Lord Jesus Christ, that when he died for their sins. The Holy Spirit baptized them into the body. Now the Lord had to know who to add back here. Find it in Luke 18 now. Verse 19. Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother." And he said, "All these have I kept from my youth up." Well, you reckon the Lord would add him to the church?
Say, what you got?
On those grounds. Listen, that's what people are preaching today. Repent and be baptized for remission of sins. Keep the commandments. Don't kill. Don't murder. Honor your mom and your daddy. Don't walk on the grass. Don't kick the cat. Oh, you got to be good to these cats. You got to feed these bums side of the road. God bless. No. Look what the Lord told this man. Verse 22. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, "Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all." Now I know what all is. I got a bunch of all around my house. Ain't you? I got closets full of all. I got garages full of all. I got a truck full of all out there. He said, "Sell." I got all these clothes on. He said, "Sell all that you got." Now watch what happens. Now I'm going to show you the proof of this in a minute. Verse 22. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, "Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." And when he heard this, he was very happy. He was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And that's why Jesus went on to tell him to see if a camel to go to the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter in the kingdom of heaven. It ain't impossible, but it's harder. It's easier for a camel to go through that needle than it is for a rich man to get up. You know why? He's looking for the Antichrist over here. And when he goes over here to buy and sell, he's got to take the mark of the beast. And when he does, he loses his eternal life. I wouldn't give a flip if I had to go get in line tomorrow to take the mark of the beast. It wouldn't bother me. You understand? You probably already have. You know, this ain't got nothing to do. I don't know if y'all are aware of the fever that's going on in this world. They showed a woman on television from where was she from, Norman? Baldwin County?
I really don't know where she
I don't know where she
around,
stopped.
Around somewhere.
She got stopped and got gas. She got it on a debit card. These thieves and these people that know electronics, my son probably knows how easy this stuff is. I know what he used to do. These thieves have got a piece of equipment that they can put on the side of that gas pump. You stick your card in there, it can read it and get your information. They done this woman that way, and they cleaned everything out of her bank account that she had.
But the guy over in Foley,
some guy in Foley got caught,
and they said they found the device, and so they watched for him to come back to retrieve it to get the information, and they arrested him. It was a man in Foley.
Okay. I think it's different from way off.
You think we ain't saw a bunch of people? Mm-hmm. You know what Paul said? Paul said that Jesus Christ came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Now them thieves are stealing your money out there. They ain't as sore as old Paul was. He said he was the chief of sinners. You know why? He was a blasphemer.
Yeah.
He was a blasphemer. But Paul got saved. So the Lord knew who to add to this church right here. Go back to Acts 2 and let me show you. Verse 41. And they that gladly received his word, this is Peter preaching to them, repent and be baptized for remission of sins. And they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added to them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. Y'all think we ought to get us a Baptist friend and start baptizing? Let me ask you something. If you got water baptized, would the Holy Spirit baptize you by the Spirit into the church of body of Christ? If you got baptized for remission of sins, if you believed, you walked out, asked Jesus to come into your heart, you kept 10 commandments. And by the way, anybody in here can tell me what the 10 commandments are? I got a $20 bill I'll give you if you can tell me without looking in your Bible. Can you tell me five of them? I bet you can't even name five of them. And there are people that have been duped into believing if they keep the commandments and confess their sins and get water baptized and join the church, then they are going to heaven. No way. They're going to bust hell wide open unless they believe that Jesus Christ died for their sins. You know what Paul told you in Romans chapter 10, verse 9? Look at it. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he said, this is the gospel that I delivered unto you, that Christ died for our sins, was buried and rose again the third day. He said, "You by which you are saved." Jesus Christ added to this church back here, such as should be saved. What did they have to do to be saved? They had to endure to the end. They had to confess their sins. They had to get water baptized. Now, let me show you what Peter believed. Go to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. In Acts chapter 5, verse 1. But a certain man. Now, by the way, this is right after Acts 4, ain't it? Mm-hmm. In Acts chapter 4, there's a man there named Barnabas, which sold some land and possessions and brought it and laid it at the apostles' feet. You understand? Acts 2, they sold out. Acts 4, they sold out. Acts 5, Ananias and Sapphira. Look at it. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession, kept back part of the price. Huh? You know what they are? They are like those in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul said, except you believed in vain. We got millions and millions of vain believers in this world. Do y'all know how many people were saved in Noah's day back then when the flood came?
Eight people.
Well, you know, there wasn't about 30 or 40,000 people on it. Well, but them folks lived up to 1,000 years back then. 14 generations. There's some people back there up to 14 generations. Tell me there wasn't just a handful of people back there.
Millions.
There were millions of people back there, and 8 people were saved. 8 people. When God Almighty destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities in the plain around Sodom and Gomorrah, there weren't even 10 saved people in that place. You know how many saved people come out of Sodom and Gomorrah? One man and his 2 daughters and his wife. 4 people. His sons-in-laws, he went over there and preached to them, and his sons-in-laws laughed at him. You know what he went over there and told them? He said, y'all better get out of here. God's going to destroy this place with fire and brimstone out of heaven. Oh, man, you got to be crazy. I can see them back there when Noah is building that ark. They ain't never seen rain in their life back there. And I can see them people say, Noah, what in the world are you doing? Well, I'm building an ark. Well, what in the world is an ark? Well, this is going to save me and my family and these animals. From what? There's a flood coming. Oh, no. Well, I knew you was crazy. Noah, you must be drunk. What kind of wine you drinking? I can see them laughing at Noah. And you know what this Bible says about Noah? Noah was a preacher of righteousness. You think about people that are trying to tell people about the church, the body of Christ. It ain't the same as the church in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Acts that the Lord added to. Then they say, well, you've got to be some kind of nut. Well, I'd rather be a good nut saved by the grace of God than a blooming idiot to believe what the world believes about it. You understand? I ain't got an answer to what they say. I got an answer to what God said, and I got what God said right here. Now, why did Ananias and Sapphira keep back part of it?
Lack of faith.
When Jesus Christ told that rich man, sell all that you got and distribute to the poor and come follow me, you'll have the treasures in heaven. Ananias and Sapphira believed that, didn't they?
Yeah.
To a point. You know, and I think about my cousin Ricky Jordan. It just burns me up to see him selling this material when he knows better. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, if you care to study it. God is able to make all grace abound to you, that you always have in all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. He told those apostles in Matthew chapter 10, he said, freely you have received, freely give. He didn't tell me to get out and merchandise this. Why do I need to merchandise what God's got right here, which was freely given to us of God? Salvation is a free gift. If I gotta pay for it, if I gotta work for it, if I gotta work to maintain it, then it is not free. God gave us a free gift. The death of His Son. Eternal life in His Son promised to the church, the body of Christ, be before the world began. Not these in here, since the world back here. Now, Ananias and Sapphira, Acts 5, verse 2, and kept back part of the price, his wife also being private to it, and brought a certain part, and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said to Ananias, Why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Who caused Ananias and Sapphira to do what they did?
Satan.
You know, you hear that old saying, well, you know what? I'm sorry about that. Satan made me do that.
The devil made me do
that. Well, that probably some of that is true. Satan dwelling in our minds and our hearts and our thoughts and our activities. We allow Satan. And you got to understand, Paul said in the last days over here, Satan is taking people captive at his will. But you know what? They can be restored. Now watch what he says here, verse 3. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? How did Peter know that Ananias had sold it for so much? Sir? Did the Holy Spirit know it? Was Peter filled with the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
Well, is Peter in the church of the body of Christ?
No.
Did Peter sell out everything he had? Forsake everything he had?
Yeah.
Go to, hold your place there and go to Matthew chapter 19. Go to Matthew 19. Listen, beloved, this church here that the Lord added to here is a Jewish church. This church here that Paul's the first member ain't neither Jew nor Greek. Bond or free, male and female. We're all one in Christ. This is a spiritual church. Matthew 19, verse 27. Then answered Peter and said unto him, talking to the Lord, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, he's talking to the apostles, his disciples there. And Peter answered and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, over here at the second coming, they followed him and saw him when he ascended up from the baptism of John to his ascension up, must be one to follow him to be witness with him. In other words, they had to be a follower of the Lord in his earthly ministry and see him when he left. Not so with Paul. Paul's not a member of this church back here. Now, watch what he tells them. Verse 28, Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Are they going to sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel? Yeah. Where is the church, the body of Christ? Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. You see, the Lord didn't add Judas Iscariot to that church. Y'all know that Jesus Christ knew Judas Iscariot before he chose him?
Yeah.
He said, Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? Verse in Ephesians 2, verse 4, But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Well, where are we seated at? In the heavens. Where are the 12 looking forward to? They're looking forward to the second coming. Go to Acts chapter 3. Go to Acts chapter 3. You see, the message ain't the same, and the prophecy is not the same, and the position in the kingdom of God is not the same. Are we in the kingdom of God? Mm. Yes, we are. Are the Israel going to be in the kingdom of God? Those that endure to the end, sell out, and don't take the mark of the beast,
right,
will they be in the kingdom?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Bible, what, Carol?
Cold.
Cold?
No.
Turn the heat up.
Bill, you a fire over there. I haven't got no mattress. All right. Sorry about that.
We'll get you warmed up.
All right. In Acts chapter 3, look what he says in verse 19. Peter's preaching. Repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins
may be
blotted. Now you can't miss that, can you?
No.
Maybe.
We didn't read the verse, but I want to show you the verse. Whole Acts 3, because it's important. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. We didn't read it, but I want to show it to you. We ain't got to read all of it. Well, I am going to read it all. 1 Corinthians 15, I am going to read it all. Verse 1, Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you, what?
Are saved.
If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believe in vain. Now listen, this way is to believe in vain. In other words, without a cause. In other words, I'm not no, like somebody might say, well, I've never sinned. And I think about Norman and Wanda's Aunt Ruth. Far as I know, she never married. I don't even know if she ever dated or not. She was a good woman. I mean, a staunch, straight down the line good lady. Now, I never heard her curse. Never saw her do anything bad. She was real gentle. But I don't know if she was saved enough. You know why? She was in a Church of Christ church that believed Acts chapter 2. I tried to talk to that lady several times, and I quit going up there because every time I'd go up there, it'd be some kind of spiritual argument, some kind of doctrinal issue about what they believe.
Anything to keep you from seeing the truth.
But the last time I talked to her about the Bible, and I went up there with my wife and I told her, I said, I'm not even going to take my Bible with me. I'm not going to open my mouth about nothing about the Bible. I'll be good this week. Well, we were sleeping in the front room. There's a dog trot down through the middle of this old house. Aunt Ruth's kitchen was on the back. And Aunt Ruth, she never did wake you up. She'd let you sleep all day. She'd tell you how lazy and sorry you was after you got up late, and she wouldn't bother you. But that morning, Aunt Ruth knocked on our door and she said, Percy, if you want to get up, I'm in the kitchen. And I said, I got to get up. I got up, went to the kitchen. She had a fire in the fireplace. She was trying to make coffee with Mr. Coffee. She had the filter there. She dropped the filter, spilled coffee all over, spilled water all over. Aunt Ruth was nervous. Do you hear me? I ain't never seen that lady do nothing like that. Well, she said, Percy, we got a new preacher. And I said, I can't keep my mouth shut no longer. You done opened two doors to now. And I said, yes. I said, what does he preach for salvation? Well, you know. I said, no, what does he preach for salvation? And she quoted Acts chapter 2, repent and be baptized for remission of sin. And I said, Aunt Ruth, I said, that is not the salvation that will save your soul this time that we're living in. I said, Paul has the words for salvation. And when I left there, when we drove out of that yard, I was headed to my vehicle. Aunt Ruth said, Percy, remember what you first had. I never had repent and be baptized from this sin. So I don't know if Aunt Ruth was saved or not. She may be burning in hell this morning.
The only hope that we have for her was when she was in that Baptist church. Before
them Church of Christ invaded that area that we're talking about in the country up above Andalusia, up at Coldwater. Before they invaded up there and took over, there were Baptist churches up there. And that's the only hope that any of them have, that that she maybe have gotten saved in a Baptist church. And by the way, I listened to Dolphin Way Baptist this morning, and I got to give a man credit. He done a jammed up job this morning. He talked about the virgin birth, and he did say that Jesus Christ came into the world and died for all of man's sins. He did say that. And I all do praise the Lord, hallelujah. At least they heard that Jesus Christ died for their sins. But now, believing in vain is something else.
Right.
Ananias and Sapphira is a type of vain believers. Vain believers believe the death, burial, and resurrection, but they don't believe that for their salvation. They don't trust. The Catholics believe that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again the third day, but they don't trust that for their salvation. So how does the Holy Spirit know who to baptize, and how did the Lord know who to baptize into this body back here? Those that believe. How did the Lord know that those in Acts 2 that he added to the church had believed? They sold out everything they had, beloved. Brought it and laid it at the apostles' feet. Distribution was made to all men as all men had need. Acts 4, there were 5,000 of them. They sold out everything they had. They sold their lands and their houses. You don't see the Church of Christ people telling their people, Acts 2, sell out everything you got and the Lord will add you to this church. You know what would happen? The welfare system's overrun now. There ain't room for nobody else. There was a man out there at work out there, his son. This fellow was a painter. His son got caught up in that. They moved out into Montana or somewhere on some of them mountains waiting on the Lord to come get them. Well, they like starved there. This kid come running back home to daddy. Daddy had to take care of him and that boy's family. Got them rung up in that mess. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. Acts of 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. In other words, now you remember, when Paul said the gospel that I preached, he told us in Galatians, I did not get this message from man, he said, I received it by direct revelation from the Lord. He didn't get it from the 12. He's not preaching the same thing the 12 preached. This church here fades out of the picture after Acts 15. Listen to me. After Acts 15, you don't see anything about the apostles anymore back here. You see Barnabas and Paul and Silas and Timothy and those that followed Paul until the rapture of the church. Hereafter, when the rapture of the church takes place, then the doctrine of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Hebrew epistles, Hebrews through Revelation will be preached again over here. You understand? After the second coming, in the 1,000-year millennial reign, you will have Matthew chapter 28. Preach to those Gentile nations that blessed the seed of Abraham in the tribulation. They fit the bill back here in Genesis 12. I'll bless them that bless you. Those who first trusted under the Apostle Paul were in the covenants of promise. Paul, after Acts 22, became a prisoner for us Gentiles that are in the world today, and it don't make no difference if you're a Gentile, a Jew, or whatever you are, God Almighty will save anybody that'll trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Being upon doing that, the Holy Spirit will baptize you into this body of believers right here. And we'll go out at the rapture, and if you've heard the gospel of Christ, and I don't care if you're sitting in a Catholic church, a Baptist church, or a Methodist church, and you're sitting in there, and you've heard the gospel of Christ, and you're a vain believer, you go into the tribulation, you will believe the Antichrist, because God Almighty said, I'm going to send you a strong delusion, and there's somebody that's going to have a strong delusion sent to them. And they will believe the Antichrist. And I believe the world is being made ready right now. Yeah. Beloved, all you've got to do is just a look around you and see what's taking place right now. This world, it ain't just this Mobile, Alabama. It ain't just the state of Alabama. It ain't just the United States of America. It is worldwide destruction, fear, thievery, anarchy, homosexuality is rampant.
Right.
It is rampant. Women marrying women, men marrying men. God forgive us. Have mercy on us. You know what? If it wasn't for the Lord Jesus Christ, there wouldn't be no need even trying to stick around. It'd be better take a gun and blow your brains out and get on out of here. But there's somebody, and it may be somebody sitting in here this morning, that you ain't never trusted Christ as your personal Savior. Maybe you are the last person that fills up this body in Ephesians chapter 1. When the body is full, then there ain't no need for us to stay here no longer. God can go to dealing with Israel through the Antichrist over here. We can get out of here. Acts chapter 3. I got about a half a minute here. Go back to Acts 3. Verse 19. Repent you therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. And you know what Satan has done in his book? I'm going to read it like he's got it in his book. Repent you therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. So the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. In other words, you see these signs around 2 Chronicles.
Yeah.
If my people, which are called by my name, would repent, I'd come and heal them and cleanse their land. Bull junk. That ain't got nothing to do with the church that we live in now, the dispensation that we live in now. Look what Peter said to these Jews. Repent you therefore and be converted that your sins may. Do y'all believe that Ananias and Sapphira are going to go into the kingdom of heaven? Y'all think they're going to be in there? I believe they're down there in hell right now looking up and said, Lord, if them people would just pay attention. Like old rich man talking to Abraham, said, Abraham, I got five brethren up there. Please send somebody from here that they don't come to this awful place of torment. He said, rich man, he said, they got Moses and the prophets up there. Let them hear them. He said, no, maybe if somebody would come from here, and I suspect if this floor busted open right now and some character come up through here with flames all over him and fire all over him, there wouldn't be nobody in here cold. There wouldn't be nobody left in here. You look at the dude here, I'd be the first one out of here. But there's a real place called hell down there, and people don't believe that. And God Almighty will laugh at you when he tells the angels, take this person and cast them into the burning lake of fire where the worm dieth not. Mark chapter 9, read it. Where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. That's where non-believers go. That's where vain believers go. The Holy Spirit adds believers. Jesus Christ added believers. How did he recognize the believers? Beloved, they sold everything they had. Gave it every bit of it. They didn't keep back part of it. When they kept back part of it, the Holy Spirit knew how much they got, and they knew that they kept back part of it. They didn't really believe God to take care of them. These people that have to sell God's material, they don't really believe God will take care of them. And if God don't take care of them, shut the mess down. Close her down. shut it down.
God didn't open that door.
Well, God said he owned the cattle on a thousand hills. He said all the silver and the gold is mine. It all belongs to him. If he can't finagle a way for us this class to stay together, let the class fall apart. But see, we ain't got, and I ain't got nothing against these people to go out and buy a building or build a church building to meet in, but we don't need it. We got a free place to meet in. Why get in debt? Why gotta look like everybody else with the steeple and all that?
Brag.
Pride. That's correct. Look what Peter says here, one last thing. Verse 20. And he, the Lord, shall send Jesus Christ. Well, he's already sent Jesus Christ the first time, didn't he, as a babe? Didn't he?
Right.
So he's got to be talking about the second time. So this church here is looking for the second coming. This church here is looking for the rapture when God would change our by our body. I appreciate you being here this morning. Good to see each and every one of you. I hope you have a good holiday or Christmas, whatever you want to call it.